Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the beginning. We're going to read all the way through Revelations this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter 1, we are beginning the last of our core values in this series. I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed what the Lord has brought out in these. How many have got something out of these? Well, let me ask you this. How many have got something out of these that have actually applied to their life? It's just pretty awesome where He's taken us. And this last core value is no different. And again, all these are on the website. And I would encourage you, if you would, go to your website, go to the website, become familiar with the real-time living. Most people call it what we believe. But how many know we want to move beyond what we believe, and it's actually what we live, right? But I would encourage you to go there and become familiar with those things, because the Spirit of God had us poured in a certain way on purpose. And you need to know who you are. Regarding our core values, we're on the core value, celebrate God for the abundance of all things. We heard a little bit of that this morning. And I got to tell you, from the things that, you know, everybody goes through stuff. If you're on the planet and you're breathing, you're going through stuff, because it's always pushing back. And so we have to understand, how do we function in that environment? You know, I'm reminded of these things Jesus said. He said, the prince of darkness has nothing in me. Has nothing in me. And we've talked about this before. You know, so much of the mindset about sin is you don't want to sin because you make God mad. The reality of it is, God's in a good mood. You might as well say amen, because it's so. God's in a good mood all the time. But the reason we don't want to sin is because we don't want to contaminate and cause, and really what Jesus said, give darkness access to inside of you. Because see, when you sin, see, then you give Him access to inside of you, and now He can rope you up like a marionette and just do what He wants to with you. Paul told Timothy, he can take you captive at His will. So that's why it's so important that, you know, we want to live out of our spirit, because Paul said, when you live out of your spirit, you won't even fulfill the desires or the pressures of the natural man or the nature of the flesh or whatever you want to call it. You don't even fulfill those because you're living out of your spirit. We're not trying to harness and rope the natural man and subdue it. You're going to lose that every time. And so when we're talking about, you know, this last core value about celebrating God for the abundance of all things, one thing we're going to find as we go through this, see, even though it's Old Testament, God brought out principles for human beings to function by. You know, I've often thought about the dietary things that He's laid down in there. And no, we're not under law. We don't function in that environment. But maybe, just maybe, things that He said to eat or to stay away from, maybe that's just good general principles of life and what you're putting in this temple. Maybe there's things that He said stay away from because of the contamination level that they put into your body. Not law, not environment of law. You can't eat this, you can't eat this. But just maybe, all of these things that he's brought up, maybe there's some significance to how it affects the human body. So, in this environment, we're talking about this core value, to celebrate God for the abundance of all things. Why did he say that? He made some statements in Deuteronomy 28 that we'll get into in the coming weeks. But he basically, had paraphrased it, he basically said, because you did not worship me for the abundance of all things, therefore lack and barrenness is going to take a hold of you and dominate you. Because you didn't worship me for the abundance of all things. So he's given us principles and letting us have an insight and a glimpse in how is it that Jesus, with all the pressure and all the things that are coming against him and all the things that were, all the darkness that was trying to trap him every time he turned around, how did he stay with his compass? How could he stand at the end and say, the Prince of Darkness has nothing in me? Because he knew how to worship God for the abundance of all things. God, Jesus was a worshiper. Brett, you found out you're a worshiper. And it pays off. There was times in my life where things were so bad, all I could do, because I hurt so bad, all I could do is lay on the floor, stare at the ceiling, put my hand straight up to the ceiling and just worship until the pain left. That's all I could do. But he brings you through those things because you learn how to put more pressure out than what's coming in. So let's read this core value. We are people free. If we say, I'm free. Now I want you to hear these words and I want you don't jump to conclusions, because I'm going to bring some things out today that if you let the Spirit of God teach you some things, that they won't hit you sideways, but you'll get it. In all of our getting, let's get understanding. We're people to live, people free to live independent of the dominion of the natural circumstances. A people who have access freely to his unlimited resources whenever needed. A people free to relate to all that's common to the family name. Did you know that you're in a family? And that there's certain environments that are exclusive to that family. In lifting others, we're a people free to relate to all that's common to the family name and lifting others above deficiency and barrenness. And this next part, a people who will establish a life habit. Everybody say a life habit. Folks, a life habit is not Sunday mornings. A life habit is Monday, all day Monday. 24 hours a day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's just where you go when the pressure's on or anytime at all. We're a people who will establish a life habit of celebrating their God as Father. And understand that worship is not a sound or a style, but it's a spending of our energies in response to the revelation of love's reality. How many know the word says God is love? So, you know, there. I grew up in church, and a number of different churches. I've been in all kinds of different churches. And to some folks, worship sounds a certain way. And I know growing up, Lord, if you had an electric guitar, man, you're going to hell. Because there's just no place for electric guitar in worship. Really. I guess the Holy Spirit didn't know that. Or if there wasn't an organ, then it just wasn't worship. And we understand by this core value, folks, worship is not a sound or a style. Worship is your response to Him. It's how do you respond to Him and the revelation that He gives you in that environment. Genesis chapter 1. You know, every place, from the very beginning, every place that God revealed Himself, He revealed good. Every place. From the very beginning in Genesis, what does He do? It says the Spirit of God moved, and as soon as the Spirit of God began to move, what started being produced? Good. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving. What was being produced? Well, verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that He had made, and all it was very good. Psalms 104, verse 13, it says, the earth is satisfied Notice these words. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. You open your hand, and they're satisfied with good. You send forth your spirit. Literally, the original text says breath. And they're created. And you renew, everybody say renew, the face of the ground. And verse 28 says, and what you give them, they're filled. See, all these words, satisfied, renewed, filled, these are all attributes of him. And this is always ever, he's always revealed of himself. You open your hand and they're satisfied. That's the Aramaic translation. Psalms 119:68 says, you are good and you do good. Can I just tell you something? If, and you read this in your word, if all of nature knows he's good, everything created knows he's good, it took darkness coming through influence a man's thought process to say contrary. Because all of creation knows he's good. It's only man who's saying he's not. But understand, the only reason man's saying that is because man's having their mindsets influenced by darkness to come up with that line, because every place he's revealed himself, even to all of creation, everybody, everything in this picture knows that he's good. Can you see that? The very first revelation of him is he's good. Principle number one in your notes says, we want to be people who live from the breath of God upon all that we are. I read it in Psalms 104. It says, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. You open your hand, they're satisfied with good. But verse 30 says, you send forth your spirit or your breath, they're created, and you renew the face of the ground. In Genesis chapter 1, the very first thing that is recorded of the Spirit of God is that the Spirit began to move. And then you understand that he created all those things, and he created man, and he breathed into them the breath of life. The Hebrew actually says lives, plural, because inside of him was her. But we want to be a people. And I understand I'm saying this at the expense of, well, maybe you don't understand what this is saying, or maybe this is just a, you know, typology. But folks, look, as we get through this, you're going to understand what I'm saying. We want to be a people who live from the breath of God upon all that we are. You're going to see this characteristic in Abraham's life. But before we go there, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. He said, for everything created by God is what? Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. Now this next verse is very interesting. Because if you're like most people, you read right past it. It says, for it's sanctified. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if received with gratitude. It's sanctified by the means of the Word of God and prayer. So, here's what we do. We get down and sit down at a table, we eat, and got the food in front of us. In the name of Jesus, bless this mess, amen. Or we say some, you know, quick prayer, and amen, we're done, we're eating. But this word prayer is interesting, because it's really not, it's not the word prasuke, which means fellowship, face-to-face fellowship, but it's kind of tied to that, because really what you find in this word is, it's the environment of if two people got together in a room and they just begin to talk, and then they begin to just have a conversation with each other. It's the picture of just inviting someone to be in another person's presence, and we just hang out. And so this word is talking about, the thing we're talking about, we want to be a people that live from the breath of God upon all that we are. We want to be a people that You know, when we sit down to eat, when we sit down on the couch, we invite him into the room. We invite him into the room because we want to have a conversation. That's really what we're talking about. And Genesis chapter 14, if you look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 14 says this, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, if you look at what took place with Abraham, Abraham lived in, they call it Mesopotamia, but really he lived in Iraq. Ur of the Chaldees. And all of a sudden God spoke to him. God spoke to him and said, why don't you leave this place and go to a place I'll show you. And Abraham's response wasn't, excuse me, this is where all my family is. This is just who I am. Why are you trying to change me? He responded by doing what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to him about. And so, if I had time, you look at some of the things that he did. I mean, he, in chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, Abram did as the Lord had spoken to him. He left there the Chaldees, he left his family, and it says in chapter 12 that he went as far as, now the Aramaic translation says he went as far as the Oak of Mamre. I know that most other translations say the Oak of Moreh or something like that. And it talks about in verse 7 of chapter 12 of Genesis that the Lord appeared to Abram. The thing that's interesting about Abram is, and we kind of take this for granted, and I realize, you know, as we read these things, we've kind of put a Western mindset in everything we read, in that we don't expect visions, we don't expect things that we read about. If you notice here, I mean, the Lord appeared to him, the Lord talked to him, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. It was a progressive thing. The revelation that God gave Abram was progressive. And if you look, if you'll study your Old Testament, you'll find that every time God revealed himself by a name, it was a different name. And he was bringing him along in his understanding of who he was. And so, you know, we often read about Abraham being a man of faith and those things, but, you know, like here in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, it says Melchizedek, okay, he had just got done conquering all these kings that took Lot hostage with a bunch of other people. And, of course, the kings that were with Lot, they were appreciative of the fact that Abraham and all his 300 men came in there and conquered all those folks and got them free. So after that event happened, Melchizedek shows up in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. And he says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. So everything he's getting ready to say, he's speaking on behalf of the Lord. Do you understand that? Everything he's getting ready to say, he's speaking on behalf of the Lord. He's a priest of the God Most High. Verse 19, he blessed him and he said, this is to Abram, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High. That's in verse 20. So, when I've read this in the past, and I know I think if you've read this, you've probably just read right over that, and you just figure, well, he's calling God Most High the possessor of heaven and earth. But he's not. Because he was speaking to Abram in that verse. The next verse he speaks to God. So he called Abram possessor of heaven and earth. Everybody say possessor of heaven and earth. But I thought something was interesting. I've mentioned this before. I found this Aramaic translation, and it's very fascinating when I read it, because this came from the language that they spoke over there. So what I'm reading is what they read. But what is interesting about this verse in verse, it's in your notes too, in verse 18, is it doesn't say blessed of Abram, blessed be Abram of God. It says blessed be Abram to God. Now who is this priest speaking on behalf of? Y'all hear? Who's he speaking on behalf of? He's speaking on behalf of God. And he says to Abram, blessed be Abraham to God. See, this is the environment that Abram lived in. You know, when we go over to Romans chapter 4, and just hold your place here and go over there. When we go over to Romans chapter 4, I tell you folks, I read over these for years, because I was only training myself to think theologically. I'm going to know if you just train yourself to think theologically, you're in a rut. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But Romans chapter 4, what does it say about Abram? It says, see if I can find it here. It is Romans 4, right? Oh, I'm not in chapter 4, no wonder. I was in chapter 3. Okay. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 19, speaking of Abram, it says, his faith never weakened, even when he examined his old body. When he was 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not doubt the promise of God as one who lacks faith, but his faith strengthened him and he gave glory to God. But then go on, look what it says. It says he felt assured that what God had promised him, God was able to fulfill. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. That his faith was reckoned for righteousness, not written of his sake alone, but for us also. Now, in another spot in this dialogue, it says that he it talks about him having faith in the presence of him whom he believed. Remember how it says God calls those things that be not as though they were? And Abraham had faith in the presence of him who he believes. Everybody say in the presence of him. See, we've looked at the life of Abraham so many times, and we've evangelical westernized it. And we forget that when God told him, okay, here it goes. When God told him that he was going to be a father of many nations, and it didn't happen right away, he didn't go pull out a teaching series to prop him up. He didn't go get somebody else's body of work to prop him up. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that. There's not. If you've seen my personal collection, you know what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. In the Western world, we have gotten to the place where we substitute somebody else's time with him as ours. And you cannot build your life on that. It's like David trying to take Saul's armor and go out and fight the battles. David had enough sense to say, man, this has never been tested, it's never been tried, it ain't going to work for me. And he went with what he was familiar with. What was he familiar with? The presence of him. Why? Because in his own time, he built that fellowship with him. See, when we talk about being a people, that we want to be a people that live from the breath of God upon all that we are. We're talking about Abraham did that. Every time you turn around, you look in Genesis, he would go and he would have a time with the Lord and he would build an altar. And he was constantly going back to the same place. In fact, not only him, but if you keep on reading Genesis, you're going to find that the oak of Mamre is someplace that not only did he keep going back to, even when he made a dumb choice, went to Egypt, and decided to come up with an idea that, well, if they know you're my wife, they'll kill me, so tell them you're my sister, and then things will be good for... Even in that whole mess, and the thing blew up in his face, and he even walked out of there with abundance of wealth in it, because God's good. He went straight back to where he started. Where he had that experience with God. And he continually went back to that place. His kids went back to that same place. They had an experience with God. And if you read even Jacob, he went there and he says, he built an altar because the Lord appeared to him. He had an experience with God. Principle number two. Well, before I go there, do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? I don't want you guys to go out of here and say, well, Pastor Dan doesn't think we should listen to anybody else. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because I would be violating my own, what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you cannot use somebody else's time with God and say it's yours. It's not. The reason why, you know, we always say, well, how come the church in the United States is so ineffective? The church in the United States is ineffective only because, if it is ineffective, it's only ineffective because everybody's happy with theology. They don't want to get an experience with him. Abraham didn't have a book to go to. He didn't have a tape series to go to. He didn't have somebody else's body of work to go to. All he had was him. And he went to him. We're blessed that we have so many men and women of God. Speaking of Joyce Meyer, all these folks that have gone before us and they've laid the track with and they've done these things, but they've learned what they've learned with him. So we get with him, let him breathe upon us, let him constantly be speaking into our life. And what does it say, Abraham? The priest of God told Abraham, you're blessed to him. He was telling him what God said. He was confirming to Abram what God thought of him. Why is it so many times we fall apart like a $2 suitcase when time is hard? Because we haven't spent time with him, we've been spending time with theology. When we spend time with him, he's speaking to us all the time. He's reaffirming us. He's telling us, you're blessed to me. You sit in that environment long enough, I don't give a crap what happens around us. We always have that altar to go back to. And it's because he's real. He's not just an idea. We got to get beyond this. I'm just happy to learn scriptures. He's real. He's a real person. Abraham knew him as a real person. That's why his faith was strong, because he put himself in a position, he was always spending time with him, and he was always letting him speak to him. That's why it wasn't because he was memorizing scripture. It wasn't because he was meditating on, it wasn't doing. It was being. And letting him speak to him. Can you see that? See, we've woven all kinds of Western ideas into the story of Abraham. But my gosh, Abraham didn't have a library. He had God. And he had every place when he revealed, he would make an altar and he would spend time with him. You know, the priest of the Lord comes out and the first thing he says to him is he confirms to Abraham what God thinks of him. You're blessed to him. You're a blessing to him. What would you be like if every day you woke up and you spent enough time with Jesus, and every time you woke up, He spoke to you, "You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me." Everywhere you went, "You're a blessing to me." Pastor, you're awful fired up. Yep. I am. Notice what he said here. Okay, so Abram had just defeated 300. With his 300 dudes, he just defeated multiple nations of armies. The priest of the Lord shows up and with the bread and wine, the elements of the covenant, and he said, "Blessed be Abram of God," or "to God Most High. You are the possessor of heaven and earth." I want to show you something that if you don't get anything else out of what I said, if what I just said makes you mad, well then go get along with Jesus and let him show you some things about it. I believe in the power of the "and." Right? Let's take everything that people get in their quiet time with Jesus, but it doesn't replace what you get in your quiet time with Jesus. And you can put them together. Let's do both. Because frankly, this isn't going to do much for you. This will. This is just, these are just vitamins. This is your sustenance. Your private time with Him and developing a real intimate. Proverbs says that what belongs to the righteous is the intimacy with God. I wonder if you went into any church in the United States of America, I wonder if you went in there and you said, "Okay, lay aside all your tape albums, lay aside all your books, lay aside all your library, everything. Put it all aside, pretend it doesn't exist. Now take an inventory. What's your intimacy with Him like?" Well, brother, so what did Holy Spirit say to you? What did He say to you yesterday when you spent time with Him? Do you see what I'm saying, folks? Let's take it all, man. Don't substitute the vitamins for your sustenance, because the meal is when you spend time with Him. Because it's not just about getting a revelation of a verse. It's about knowing Him. Knowing Him. Knowing how He thinks. And knowing what He thinks about you. Abram knew what God thought about him. The priest of the Lord shows up and said, "Oh, just in case you didn't know, as far as God's concerned, you're a blessing to Him." But notice, this is interesting. Like I said, if you don't get anything else, you can block out what I just said, and whatever, that's fine. But notice what happens here. The other kings start trying to offer him stuff. Abram, he's our man. You know, whatever. And basically, Abram said, let me find it here in this translation. I'm way ahead of myself. So in chapter 14, verse 19, the priest shows up and said, blessed him, saying, "Blessed be Abraham to God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God." See, that's how you know he was talking to Abraham, because in verse 20 he's talking to God, "who's delivered your enemies into your hands." And Abraham gave him tithes of everything. Now, I'm not teaching a tithing message, but did you just notice what just happened there? Abraham didn't tithe because he wanted to get blessed. He tithed because he was already blessed. It was just merely a response to what God told him. "You're a blessing to me. How do we let things get so twisted up? You know how we let things get twisted up? Because we're too busy trying to take in theology and we're not taking in our intimate fellowship with Him, letting Him teach us. I heard a guy say this one time, and I really want to get off of this because I want to move on, but I heard a guy say this one time. He was coming out of a life of drugs and everything else, and he wanted a, quote, spiritual father. So he went to the man that apparently he got saved under his ministry, and he said, "I want you to be my spiritual daddy." And the guy says, "Nope. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. The word says it's called no man father except the Father." He said, "Oh, okay. He said, the pastor said, "Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I can't do that." So the guy said, okay, but can you be my mentor?" And the pastor says, "No, I can't. You need to let Father be your Father and the Holy Spirit be your mentor." And even like today in the class that we had, it was interesting, some of the things that he brought out. In the fact that the way we believe is the way we think and the way we react, and it controls our emotions and how we respond to things. And so what happens is we get so keyed in on people that without realizing it, the way they believe is being transferred down to you. Again, there's nothing wrong. I say let's take it both. But see, your reality is supposed to be tied in with your intimacy with Him. Because if you let God be your Father, I don't care how bad a one you had as a natural man, He's not that one. From the very beginning, He revealed Himself as He's good. But so many times we have to just say, you know what? You have to get alone with Him, get in His presence and say, "Father, I just don't know how. I don't know how to go there. I want to go there, but I don't know how. Can you help me?" And that's where the Holy Spirit, your mentor, comes in and begins to show you how. But this has got to be where we live. The breath of God upon us and all that we are. Abraham lived in that environment. You guys understand what I'm saying? So notice what happens here. He told him, he said, "You're the possessor. You're blessed." God says you're a blessing to him and you're a possessor of heaven and earth. Now Paul said something interesting, same type of thing, and this is what I want you to get. Let's move on to another thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And 21, actually 21, it says, "For all things belong to you." Everybody say, "All things belong to me." See, this is what I'm saying. If we read things theologically, you're going to read right over things and not going to catch stuff. But it's when you get in your private time with Him and you're building a relationship with your Father, with God as Father, and you're letting Holy Spirit, I can't talk this morning, Holy Spirit be your mentor. And He shows you things. And you live from that place. Everything else is gummy chewable vitamins. Good stuff. And it fortifies you, but it never replaces what you're getting with Him. Notice what this says. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. "All things belong to you." Verse 22. What things belong to us? Things present or things to come? All things belong to you. What's missing in verse 22? The past. There's no past there, is it? You see any past listed? You want to know why? Because your past is what He bought. The only thing that belongs to you is your present and your future. What would have happened if Abram, after 300 dudes take on all these nations and army and they defeated them all, and the other kings that you set free along with Lot are saying, "Abraham, Abraham, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. What if the priest didn't show up? No, I know I'm speculating here, and probably wouldn't have happened because of the previous encounters with God that Abram had. But he had to take authority over his present. And when they offered him all this stuff, he said, "No, you, except for what my men have eaten and everything else, you take it all." Now, our Bibles say that he sworn to God, "Let no man make Abraham rich except God." But the Aramaic Bible is interesting. The Aramaic Bible says he raised his hands to God. And he turned them down. What was he doing? He was taking authority over his present. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God, by the priest of the Lord, declared to Abram, "As far as God's concerned, you're a blessing to him." And he had enough past experience, interaction with God, encounters with God, that he knew that's how he became strong in faith, because it wasn't just because he was meditating on a verse. It wasn't because he was listening to somebody else's material. Nothing wrong with those things. But if they replace the real interaction with him, then there's something, everything's wrong with it. You can't wear somebody else's armor and then put pressure on it in the time of need and it actually does anything. Let's do both. But live in this place of encountering him directly. Because here's what that does. Paul says here, all things belong to you, things present and things to come. Listen to me. You're not defined by your last whatever. You're not defined by the last person you prayed for. Or you're not defined by the last thing you didn't do. Are you hearing me? You're not defined by anything in your past at all. What defines you is, what are you doing with right now? You have the opportunity, since the Spirit of God says all things belong to you, whatever circumstance you're in right now, you have authority over whether that's going to define who you are or not. I was listening to a gentleman, speaking of listening to things, and it was interesting. This man said, here we have a church that we basically declared a cancer-free zone, and my father dies of cancer. And we're all sitting in the room, all the family members. We're all feeling a great loss. And he said, "I had to come to the understanding the Spirit of God says all things belong to you, things present." He says, "What are you going to do with the present? Are you going to let this thing define you?" And he realized right then and there, it's the same thing that God spoke to Cain. If you do right, will you not be? In the right here and right now, if you do right, will you not be righteous? And he made the wrong choice, got mad and killed his brother. But he had control of the right now. And this man had, he said, the Spirit of God told me, you all things belong to you. You have authority over everything. Everything in the past is gone. It's all, he bought that. But the present tense right now, what are you going to allow to define you as a person? See, so many times we don't pray for people, we don't lay hands on people, we don't minister to people because, well, the last time I did, nothing happened. Are we going to be defined by the last time? No. Are we going to be defined by the last thing we remember we didn't do? Are we going to see? This is all living a life of you're trying to relate to Daddy in through a framework of rules. That's the only reason that mess comes up. He just wants you to relate to him as Daddy. We raise our hands to him. and any moment that we're in, we have a choice. Are we going to let this define us, or are we going to let Him define us? Because we spend that kind of time with Him all the time. Everything in the past is gone. See, if you study, I challenge you, study the life of Abraham, and you'll see that he constantly was building altars, went back to the same place. He went back to the place. He had a special place for him and God. And he would go there and he'd spend time with him. He was real to him. He became strong giving glory to God because he had encounters with him. And fortunately, in that moment where all the kings are saying, "Rah, rah, Abraham, you're a man," fortunately, he took authority over that moment and said, "No, you take everything, because you're not going to define me. Because one who I raise my hands to has already." Did you get anything out of this? This is why we worship Him when we don't feel like it. It's not about a theology, it's about your intimate relationship with Him. And what you're going to allow to define you. There's a lot of things in my life I can get real depressed about. Sometimes I think that way, and my wife goes and gets that wiffle bat and hits me in it. No. But I notice something very peculiar when I forget about past and I focus on right now, and specifically letting Him breathe on and spend time with Him in the right now, all of a sudden everything shifts. This is one of the key things we're talking about, folks, when we're talking about celebrating God for the abundance of all things. We have to train ourselves to live here. That's why I say you can live independent from circumstances, because we live here. Amen. Let's stand. Let's raise your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love You. And we thank You for Your presence in our life. We thank You for speaking over us that You're a blessing to You, that we're a blessing to You. And we just thank You for You, Holy Spirit, that You are our mentor. We want You to be our mentor. And Father, we want You to be our Father. We want You to teach us how to walk as sons and daughters. I thank You for Your presence that rests upon everybody in this room. And I just give You praise and glory for just ministering to their physical needs, the things that are in their life. Thank You for that, leading us into that path of knowing You. And with all of our getting, we get understanding and knowing You. And because of that, I thank You that You go before us, You level all of our mountains, and You make the crooked places straight. And I just give You the praise and the glory for it. Everybody agree with that prayer? Said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.